Self fabrication. Actually, it should have been extended. Self, family, nation, the world, the planetary home, the solar world, and so on, should have been extended. But it is implied. Self, family, nation. The basic idea is the three are integrated. They are not separate entities walled off from one another in a watertight compartment. They are integrated, entry into each other. Now, we can understand this by analogy. Take our own body with which we are so familiar. Every molecule in our body, millions of molecules in our body, each has a distinctive function and a specialization. Molecules constituting the organ of liver has a distinctive function, as a function distinctive from the molecules which compose the organ of the heart or of the lungs or the brain or a digestive system. But all cells have the same constitution. They call it the various components of the cell are the same in all the cells, organelles. Every cell has DNA. Form chromosomes, and chromosome consists of number of genes. And every strip of gene has a distinctive function. And they're all composed of the same chemical elements. Oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, carbon. Essentially the same, but distinctive in their functions. But all function coordinately, like members of a team, members of a football team, have different functions. There is a straight forward, there is a full back, there is a right forward, left back, right back, and then there's a goalie. They have distinct functions, and yet they work as a team with a distinct object. Similarly, the cells of the body is so different from one another, yet essentially are considered the same elements, have a common purpose, like members of a team. What is the common purpose? Integrity of the body to be maintained, healthy and normal functioning of the body is to be maintained. Any outside disease-causing organisms or not allowed. So they have a distinctive function, maintaining the health and normal activity of the body as an organic whole. That is the body. Why this maintenance of integrity of the body in a healthy functioning manner? It is an instrument for the soul's use, enjoyment, and experience. So you see, every cell in the body, making up the organ, and every organ in the body, coordinately functioning with all other organs, function because I have to maintain the integrity of the body, to maintain the whole organism healthy and normal in its functioning. For to serve the needs of the dweller in the body, the soul, the real man, for his use, for his enjoyment, for his experience, with the ultimate goal of emancipation. So we see how beautiful nature works. Each cell is independent, yet subject to and governed by the general laws, chemical, physical, physiological, electrical, magnetic, genetic. But they have one overarching general purpose, which, as already said, to maintain the integrity of the whole organism, the temple, for the use of the deity in the temple, the soul. So, similarly, the same analogy applies to individual, family, nation. So, each individual is independent, like every cell in the body, independent, unique personality. And he has a purpose. And he has his individual karma. His situation in life as an individual, his characteristics, his qualities, his temperaments, tendencies. For the most part, it is his own karmic inheritance produced by himself. And every individual is as distinct in his mental, moral, intellectual, emotional and psychic nature from every other individual. No two individuals are alike. So, the family consists of such individuals. Individuals with the same or similar qualities, tendencies, character, obligations, sympathy, coming to the family. So just as each individual has his karma, a group of individuals who make the family, not only each individual has his individual karma, but he shares the karma of the family. So the hereditary tendencies of the family, which each individual shares, is produced collectively by the members of the family. Of course, in the present age, the teachers say, distinct family lines are not maintained for long generations as in the days of old, this being the dark age. So the family karma gets generally distributed over national karma. But nevertheless, we can actually check for ourselves. Some families remain distinct with their distinct characteristics for quite a long generation. It is the individuals who make the family, who have a common karmic basis, and each individual has a purpose in coming into life. And what is that purpose? To work out his individual karma and work out his family karma. And in the process is making new karma. So also the family consisting of individuals with common tendencies or characteristics, has a purpose. So we can say this purpose is mundane purpose, and we may say it also has supramundane purpose. So also individual, he has a mundane purpose and a supramundane purpose. So each individual comes into the world with a purpose. First is to experience the effects of the past karma. And as regards his mundane purpose for both individuals and family, it is to have physical security, physical well-being. The family provides to the individual the requisite basis and ecosystem for the individuals to live together and act together for mundane purpose of security to each member, security to the young ones, their education, their upbringing, taking care of the old and the infirm, each member sharing the responsibilities for the general welfare of the family, and so on, mundane purpose. And individual and family also have supramundane purpose, which is ethical and moral responsibility. Once we postulate self, individual self, family, nation, and up the scale are inseparable and interdependent and interwoven, it obviously means that we are not separate from others. We cannot live separate at all, as the reading in the Bhagavad Gita shows. So we have a moral responsibility, not only to our own individual self, but to the family, to the nation, and to the world at large. Principally because of the fact that we are united together inseparably, bound together inseparably, and the action of each reacts on the all. And the nature of the all has impact on each individual. So individuals in the family coordinately fulfill the purpose, as the cells coordinately fulfill the purpose of keeping the integrity of the body for the soul's use. Now the problem comes here. The disease of the body is caused by dysfunction of one or the other cell or the organ. If a cell or a group of cells or a tissue or an organ ceases to function coordinately, fulfilling its due role in the teamwork, then ill health results. The body becomes diseased and pain comes. So we see how important it is that though each individual is independent, and yet his independence is subject to the collective laws, the universal laws governing the whole, and responsibility towards the collective humanity. So we normally think of our purpose in life purely on a personal basis. That is, getting educated, getting a job, and earning a livelihood, and enjoying the fruits of our labor. And it should not end there. So, as the voice of the silence says, we have a purpose in life. The man who does not go through his purpose in life has lived in vain, the voice says. What is that purpose? So we are a higher purpose, supramundane object of life. But it's not generally known and not much attention is paid to it. In a family, it is a duty of the parents to bring out and raise children in the right family atmosphere. Not only providing them with all the mundane requisitions of life, but give them also the right kind of family atmosphere, education, right education, inculcation of virtues. This is done by parents, not so much by word of mouth as by personal example. It is a duty. So, the object is to raise children to become responsible citizens of the country, responsible citizens of the world, as they call it, universal man. That kind of a education. But of course, these things are not much known and not much attention is paid. But this is very important that we must remember. We must learn this at least. You may say, oh no, the families today, they don't know anything at all of all this. The family life is now becoming the really high family life led with high ideals. Probably you can count on your fingertips. They're so rare. It's not true. But in having come into theosophy, we cannot advance all these excuses and throw up our hands. So, with all the handicaps that we have, we must do our best. And here we have so much of encouragement in the doctrine of karma and reincarnation. Reincarnation, the doctrine of hope. Once we live with this ideal of higher purpose in life, the best that we can live up to it, even amidst conditions which are not very conducive to such a living, nevertheless, every effort counts. And we come again and build up with effort, with focus on higher life. We come again and again and again and fulfill the ideal of bringing up the family in the right way. It is not renouncing the world and running away to Himalayas or getting into monastery, which is the purpose of life. It is to live the life in the world like an average, normal person with high ideals. The ideal of higher life. For, with a view to benefit mankind. That is the true Theosophist path. So, if individuals fail in performance of their plainly evident duty of not only mundane duties, but in performance of mundane duties, they fulfill the supramundane duties. You know, this higher purpose. So, individual effort is to raise the family to a higher plane of thought. And we must understand that as the ancients so well knew that family is the basic unit of a nation. Confucius says only he can be the good ruler of a nation who has been a good householder, who has brought up a family with a high purpose in the right way. Only he is fit to govern a nation. Nation is an extended family. That is the Confucian idea. Now you may say all this is talking through the hat, and today's condition don't they're totally antagonistic to these views. But whatever it may be, this is the ideal, and our duty is to strive towards that ideal. So, just as each individual is, unique, and yet shares his karma with the family and with the nation, and is governed by the evolutionary and cosmic laws governing the whole of mankind, and his karma is interwoven with family karma and national karma. He is individual as well as integrated with all. Similarly, families as units have, each has distinctive qualities, but collectively they make the nation distinctive. So you can see yourself that every nation, you take Japan or European family nation, the family of European nations, each one of them is so distinct, different from others, and yet there's common humanity. It is the same spirit that eliminates all souls. The souls come from the same source. All the vehicles or upadis are from the same universal substance. There is the universal unity, universal causation, and yet each individual is unique and contributes by his effort. Each family contributes by its effort towards the general good and progress. Therefore, the individual, family, and nation are interwoven, bound by the evolutionary and cosmic and karmic laws. So, families, as said, a distinct role and a purpose of bringing up the young ones in the right way to be the responsible citizens of the nation of the world. Every nation also has a purpose. There is a purpose and a goal. Again, it is the mundane and supramundane. Mundane everybody knows. Supramundane purpose of the nation, very little is known. So, as regards mundane purpose, yes, it is the duty of the ruler or the government, whatever the mode of governance may be. It is to provide citizens the right opportunities for individual development and collectively for social development, cultural enrichment, education, health, security, economy. This is mundane purpose. But every nation also has a supramundane purpose. That is very little is known of that. So, every nation, if it knows of its higher purpose, like ancient India did know of the higher purpose and lived up to it, say during the reign of Ashoka. What a wonderful golden period of Indian history it is. So all these things that we are seeing is not some unattainable utopian idea. These concrete examples are there of this. In the Roman history, the reign of what is the emperor prisoner?
Marcus Aurelius?
Marcus Aurelius. You read in the Gibbon's book, Marcus Aurelius. What a noble king he was. He was one of the ablest rulers of Rome, along with the son of the previous emperor, what's his name? Yeah. Hadrian. Hadrian had a son, but what is the name of the emperor? I forget.
Was it Antonius?
Marcus Aurelius. He was totally different person, a son of a Senate member or something like that. Hadrian, you know, identified his eminence, his quality, and he made him co-ruler with his son of Rome. But Hadrian's son was so great, recognizing the superiority in qualities of Marcus Aurelius, he let Marcus Aurelius do most of the administrations. Of course, he had the duty of protecting Rome from external aggression, and much of his time was spent in that. But during his stay in Rome, he used to frequently assemble people and give talks, which is. And that was a golden period of Rome. There is another very nice episode about Confucius. Confucius was the ninth child, only son of the parents. And he was so able and so wise. And he became a magistrate or some held some high post in the governance. It is said that the whole province prospered. Seeing this, the emperor appointed him to take care of the law and order. The crime rate decreased and became almost zero. See, this goes to show, you know, how important it is for self-improvement and self-development. It's only people who develop their higher, nobler qualities and potentialities with the express purpose of serving their fellow men, what great contribution they can make to raise the whole level of the whole nation, and what contribution they can make to well-being and progress of common citizens. And again, you see the Republic, Plato's Republic. Everyone must read Plato's Republic. It is simply marvelous. There, he says that the individual fitted to rule by aptitude, by training, by the innate earned qualities, only can rule. Similarly, trade. Similarly, maintaining law. Everybody is fitted for a specific purpose of duty. And performance of duty, there is performance of duty for which we are best fitted without deviating into performing others' duties, which is dangerous. We attain perfection. So teaches the Bhagavad Gita. So in this case, what happens is, just like the cells, if they cease to perform their due function and either ceases or it does more than what is required to do to multiply and gorge its neighbors. So it becomes a dysfunction of the whole organism, disease of the body. Similarly, in individuals, if we do not have a broader and a higher, broader vision and a higher aim in life, and if our center of activity, if our focus of activity is centered in the lower self, it invariably produces disharmony. It invariably gives rise to clash, quarrels, disappointments, disease, emotional and mental disturbances, and embitterment of individual and family relationships. And it has its impact on the nation. It has an impact on the world. And it has an impact on the whole of nature. our thoughts, coalesce with elementals of the kingdoms of nature. The general level of thought being very material, selfish, discarded, and these forces, power that proceeds from human mind, acting on the elements and the subtle vital, electrical, magnetic, you know, web that integrates all life, brings about discord and disharmony, and produces diseases and pandemics, right, that we are experiencing today. Revolutions, wars, natural calamities. No, we have the disease called cancer. As our doctors, physicians, or experts say, nobody so far has understood what is the cause of cancer. They have theories, but nobody knows what is it that causes cancer. To the student of theosophy, it's very plain. It is moral cause. Just like the cells, the cancer is caused by dysfunction of the cells, multiplication beyond control. And similarly, genetic disorders. How does it happen? It is an accident. So every baby born to a particular family gets the intellectual, psychic, and physical body, intellectual nature, and mental nature precisely according to its past karma. So it is not that genetic disorders bring about the disease. It is the mental impression of the discard that was created finds expression in the bodily organism. So genetic disorders have a moral cause. So then we have, you know, curing of diseases with genetic manipulation. They speak of tailor-made babies and so on and so forth. All this is ignorance. Now all the sufferings world over, where does it come from? Self-made. Not done by some devil, as the church will have us believe. It is ignorance. Ignorance is the principal cause. Ignorance here is avidya. Lack of knowledge of our true nature, of ourself, the law of our being, of our purpose in life. So, what is the remedy? Only remedy is no political action no economic reform, no constitutional changes, or some people attempt, social engineering, all that will help. Nothing less than spiritual knowledge of self, the law of our being, cycle, karma, reincarnation, purpose, our origin, destiny, universal brotherhood. So, learning these, the appointed work of each individual is self-improvement, individual reform. Which has the effect of raising the family karma to a higher level. And it has its beneficent effect on the nation and the whole race. And teachers have said so clearly in the Bhagavad Gita reading also, the man who works for himself had better not work at all. Who works for his own good karma will meet disappointment. So, now individual reform begins with study of the great science of life. This is paroksha jnana, that is indirect knowledge, knowledge given to us by perfected men in a way that we can verify the genuineness of it, the reasonableness of it, and evidence of its truth. So it is still paroksha, it is indirect knowledge. But living and acting upon that with faith will gradually flower into aparoksha jnana, that is direct knowledge, experience. All this is to be done with a view to what Krishna says, for the good of the world, for loka sangraha. So, this is the object of ULT. ULT keeps in public domain and disseminates as well as the associates are capable of this priceless wisdom and knowledge, right? The purpose is to provide spiritual knowledge, encourage self-development, self-improvement, with a view to become the better able to help and teach others, with a view to loka sangraha. So, I think we'll have to stop here. We have 10 minutes to go. We can take up any questions or comments. Thank you.